The following presentation is from North Pine Baptist Church. We trust that it will help you learn more about God and His message for the world. For more information and to connect with us, visit npbc.org.au.
Father God in heaven, we thank you for your faithfulness. You are a God who watches over us in every step of the way. You are the God who sees us in the small things, in the big things. You know our heart. You see our path. You see our actions. And in your faithful love, you continue to hold us as your own. And we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness that you've given us your word, that we as your people can know how to live, how to serve. We can be reminded of your grace, and we can be assured of your faithfulness through all generations and into eternity. Lord God, as we open your word this morning, we pray that you will speak through it, that your spirit will be here, and Lord, that we will have ears to hear and hearts that are open. And Lord, that you will move amongst us through your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The text that I've chosen this morning is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13, where Paul talks about the key performance indicator of an effective ministry. However, whenever we look at verses, we always want to keep them in context. So we're going to read through the book of, not the whole book, Ephesians chapter 4. We'll start at verse 1. And I'm hoping that the clicker, there we go, the clicker is going. Isaac's instruction was press this button and then pray that it works. So I thought that was a really, really good instruction to happen. So we're going well. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit. Just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all and in all. Now, when the scriptures use the same word in a short space of time, you know that something important is going on. How do we live a life worthy of the calling? We live out the reality of the one. There is one body. Church is not like a gym where you have two sorts of bodies. In the middle, there are the bodies that are acceptable, the strong bodies, the muscly bodies, they can lift any sort of weight bodies. And on the side, you have the people whose bodies are not gym-like. That's where I stand, the non-gym-like body. And you go there and you know there's two different sorts of people here, but in the church there isn't. There is one body. Every single person here is part of that body. With all our weaknesses, with all our failings, with all our shortcomings, with all the amazing differences and all the blessings that we have, we are just one body together. That's what it means to live out the reality of our worthy calling. And the same could be said about all these other ones. We'll focus on that another time. One Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. There are seven ones in all. And combined together, these seven ones teach us the essential truth about our participation in God's kingdom. And that is that every single person here who has confessed Jesus Christ as Lord is of equal importance, equal value, equally loved, equally saved, equally belonging, and equally called. People call me reverent. I laugh. Reverent means to revere. That's why I really love the name pastor. Pastor is a shepherd. Pastor is one who is alongside. And I love being a pastor in a church where we all recognize that all of us serve together, that we're all part of the one. When we are in Christ together as his body, there is no one who is less, no one who is ill-equipped, no one who has a spiritual lack of capacity, no one who is secondary, no one who is to be consigned to the fringes. That's the reality of the one. Let's keep going. Ephesians 4, 7 to 10. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who has descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. There's a whole lot there. Again, this is a whole other sermon. The one point I want us to see is the point where Paul talks about the fact that all of the spiritual gifts come from the same source. They are all given as a gift of God's grace. All the gifts. There are different gifts, but not better gifts. There are different gifts, not look how much more wonderful I am than you are gifts. There are different gifts, not I've only got this one gift. I don't have as much to offer. When we are given gifts, they are the gifts of grace from the Lord Jesus Christ, from the one source. They'll be differently distributed, they'll be differently given, but for each one of us, we have a gift, and as we use out our gift, and as we live the reality of one, we all see that we're part of that. There is, in the church, no boss. There's just Jesus who gives his gifts to the people. Now we get to our text, which is describing what some of these gifts look like. Ephesians 4, 11 to 13. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. One of those people who has been given as a gift is a pastor. The word there, pastor, that is being translated as pastor, in the Greek it literally means shepherd. So a pastor is a shepherd. The reason we use the word pastor, that's based on the Latin word for shepherd. So you know I'm a good pastor. I've taught you Latin and Greek as well, all in one sentence. Those who've been given gifts to be pastors have a responsibility to fulfill a calling. And in here, there's a key responsibility. We could almost call it the key performance indicator of a pastor. In fact, it's actually the key performance indicator of an apostle and a prophet and an evangelist and a teacher, and it's in verse 12. And the key performance indicator is that they equip. That's the task of the pastor, to equip. The word that's used there is the same word that's used when it's describing the brothers James and John who were in their boat with their father Zebedee preparing the nets. This word preparing, it's the same word. Don't know a lot about fishing, but I do know if the nets have got holes in them or if they've got all the seaweed from when you caught nothing from the time before and you need to take it out, if you leave it in there, the nets are not going to work. I do know something about nets that they need to be folded up in a certain way so that when you throw them out, it doesn't just go in a big ball, but sort of spreads out. Preparing. Getting these nets ready, equipping these nets for the purpose of being able to catch as many fish as possible. The same word, in the same way, a shepherd pastor is to prepare, is to equip the flock. So that every person who has been equally called by Jesus, equally gifted but with different gifts, is in the best spiritual condition possible to mature, to grow. so that the whole measure of the fullness of Christ can be attained with the ultimate purpose of being fishers of men. Preparing the congregation, preparing the flock. That is the primary task of a pastor. Right throughout my ministry, I've been very mindful of these words in James chapter 3, verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Pastoring is a serious business. It's a serious calling. Equipping and being called to equip a congregation is a huge responsibility. There are so many different people with so many different gifts and so many different capacities and so much different need and so many different backgrounds. And so there are times when the shepherd pastor sits there and he goes, how on earth can I do all of this? And this is what I love about being a pastor. It's not about me. It's not about what I do. It's not about my capacity. I'm not doing this. I'm not fulfilling the call. I'm not equipping the flock. I'm not doing this on my own. There's another passage in Scripture which brings shepherding and equipping together. It's Hebrews 13, 20-21. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, may he equip you with everything for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. A true shepherd, a true pastor shepherd, does not equip in his own strength. He equips with the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the shepherd. North Pine is now my spiritual home. But it's not my church. This is not my church. This is Jesus' church. Jesus the shepherd. He is the chief shepherd of this church. He is the great shepherd. In 1 Peter 5, verse 4, he's called the chief shepherd. The great shepherd, the chief shepherd. It's this kind of idea of the tribal leader. As a shepherd pastor, I serve under the great, the chief shepherd. I am an under-shepherd. And my capacity to equip is completely connected with my capacity to be in relationship with the shepherd. And if I'm not in relationship with the shepherd, then I cannot equip. It is as simple as that. And so if you want to pray for me, for ministry to be effective here, what you pray for is my relationship with the Lord. Because when my relationship with the Lord is strong, then my relationship to you will be one where I can equip. I can't do this on my own. I need to do this in the strength of Jesus. Because he is the one that has done everything that is necessary for you. Taking the punishment, giving his life. He himself bore our sins in the body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd, the overseer of your souls. He has done all the work. He's the one that died for you. He's the one that calls the straying sheep, that sees a strange sheep, that goes to the lost sheep and says, I am going to be the one who brings you in. And because you are so stubborn and because you are so hard-hearted, I'm going to die for you as the shepherd. He is the one who's done all the work. He is the chief shepherd. He is the great shepherd. He is also called the good shepherd. And as a result of his work, Jesus the shepherd has this unique, eternal relationship with his sheep, We're reading a few verses from John chapter 10. To the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Isn't that amazing? Your calling here is because Jesus calls your name. He knows you. He loves you. He died for you. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him. Why? Because they know his voice. Transformational living in God's kingdom, equipping comes by hearing the voice of the shepherd. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. The under-shepherd that comes and uses his voice rather than the voice of Jesus, he's not an under-shepherd, he is a thief. It's only those who are in relationship with Jesus who are the ones to be followed. The under-shepherd, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Do you know the chief shepherd? Come on. Do you know the chief shepherd? Oh, thank you. That's good to know. That's would not have been a good start if none of us here knew the chief shepherd. Of course you know the chief shepherd. And if you don't know the chief shepherd, we want to get you to know him. We want to introduce you to him. But here's what I want you to understand. I am not the chief shepherd. I am not the answer to all your problems. I am not the great shepherd. There are times when I'm not even that good. I am not the good shepherd. I am just the under-shepherd. It's not my calling to make you listen to my voice. It's my calling to help you and encourage you and exhort you to hear the voice of Jesus. Opening up the Word of God so that the Word of God speaks into your life, so that the Word of Jesus touches your heart, brings transformation to your soul, brings you into relationship to Him. Opening up the Word of God so that those who don't know Jesus at the moment, we're going to call them the not yet believers. They're not the unbelievers, because the journey's not over until they die. They're not yet believers. There are people who are around us who are part of God's kingdom, just not yet. And so we go out with the Word of God to the not-yet believers. And we get them to hear the voice of the Scriptures and the voice of Jesus. As an under-shepherd, my task is to explain the Scriptures to you so that you know the hope which you profess. You can defend your faith. My task is to keep on pointing you to the voice of the great shepherd, to give you an understanding of God's will for your life, to give you an ability to discern, to give you protection against a culture which is driven by hate and self-centeredness and materialism and individualism and anti-Christian philosophies. That's how an under-shepherd, that's how the shepherd pastor equips everyone equally called, but differently gifted. And when that's happening, when the under-shepherd is fulfilling his call, this is what the church will look like. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful spirit. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Earlier I said that a key performance indicator of the shepherd pastor is that they equip the flock for God's service. Here is what we're going to call the key performance indicator of the flock, and that's that the flock is growing and the flock is maturing. That everyone is maturing. That the result is unity in the faith. Not conformity, but unity in the faith. That together we're encouraging each other and we're seeing this building up of the fullness of Christ. Where no one is tossed by the waves and the winds of this sin-stained world because every person knows that they are part of the one. Where no one sits here and believes that they are less important, that they don't have as good a spiritual gift. Where no one is consigned to the fringes. Where no one is invisible. Where everyone is supported and everyone is loved. Where we are equipped to be the visible example of one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism under one God and Father. That's what the flock can look like. That's what the flock can look like. Imagine that church and the light that it would be to the community if that's who we are. When that's who we are. Ministry, where a key performance indicator of the church is that the pastors are equipping and the church is being equipped by the voice of the shepherd. But here's the problem. Most of us have been around long enough to know that church doesn't look like that. Not all. Within the church, there is brokenness in the outcomes and the purposes and objectives that Jesus has for his church. Why does that happen? Well, the short answer is sin. We've been saved by Jesus the shepherd, but we still struggle with sin. And that's true. But there are times when I kind of feel like that pastors use sin as a bit of a cop-out. Now, we're standing up here and we're saying, the problem is sin. And you sit there and you go, yes, we know the problem is sin. How do we change? And the pastor says, well, just stop sinning. Well, that's true, but not really helpful. As we look at the scripture, we want to understand, how do we live in conformity to the Word of God? Not just this generalization, stop sinning and love Jesus. Yes, that's what you want to do, but how do we do that? How do we, as God's people, together, live in a way that's equipped in such a way that the outcomes that are there in Ephesians chapter 4, 14 to 16, that when we're not in alignment, that we understand we're not in alignment and we change. So why is it? Why is it that the church doesn't live always in alignment with Ephesians 4, 14 to 16? Well, that brings me to this. How many of you have been wondering what on earth is going on with this? There we go. Let's put it there. Called a bonsai tree. That's actually a real tree. I asked the guy at the shop what it was called. He said it was a juniper squamata. There you go. A bit more Latin for you. This tree, to live, it needs water. It needs sunlight. It needs to be cared for. This tree is able to bring in carbon dioxide and breathe out oxygen. This tree is God's creation. This tree is 6 years old. It should be by now a meter tall, but it's only about 10 centimetres. There are some species of bonsai trees that have been in pots for 30 years and they might be 40 or 50 centimetres high. But if that tree had been planted in the ground 30 or 40 years ago, they would now be 15 or 20 metres high. The bonsai trees are small because the tree has been restricted. It's restricted by the size of the pot so that the roots can't go deep, stunts its growth. When they're first done, when the bonsais are first made, they wrap wire around the trunks of them to put them in the right direction to make them go into these different shapes. And so the tree is restricted in the way that it grows. And after it's got to a certain shape, what happens is as it continues to grow, the person who is the bonsaier, let's call them that, the bonsaier, they will trim all the different leaves off and take them off. And so the tree continues to be restricted. This tree has been bonsaied. The calling of the shepherd pastor is to equip God's flock. But a temptation which a pastor can fall into is to bonsai God's flock instead. Where the pastor does everything themselves because, well, it's just quicker to do that if I just do it myself. And we kind of like it. There are some pastors who kind of like when the congregation says, oh, look how hard he works. And there are some pastors, they won't tell you out loud, but they might say it behind the scenes, we kind of like being in control. I know you've never met a pastor like that, but... And instead of recognizing that this is Jesus' church, you hear the bonsai pastor say, this is my church. These are my people. Now, if you're saying these are my people, these are my brothers and sisters in Christ, and this is where God's got me to serve, absolutely. But it's not mine to control. Instead of equipping the people to hear the voice of Jesus the shepherd, the bonsai pastor forces the congregation to listen to his voice. And the result is no equipping and restriction and no growth. And then that same pastor will sit there and they will say, I don't understand why my church isn't growing. It's because you keep it in the pots. You keep bonsai. It's a real temptation. And it will not result in a church which is in alignment with Ephesians 4:14-16. But the other temptation or the other difficulty we have is that followers of Jesus can be tempted to live as bonsai Christians, where instead of listening to the voice of Jesus the shepherd, and if that voice is being spoken faithfully through the under-shepherd, instead of listening to that voice, the bonsai Christian listens to the waves that toss and turn. They listen to the wind that tosses back and forth, to the worldliness that is around, and they allow themselves to be restricted by this thinking which is not of God, which doesn't lead to maturity, which doesn't lead to growth. And instead of standing on the strong foundation of the Word, the bonsai Christian is spiritually blown in all sorts of directions. And so they allow themselves to be wired in a certain way, restricted in a certain way. And instead of being biblically discerning, the cunningness and the deceitful scheming of ungodliness has taken hold. and the growth is trimmed. And so the bonsai Christian stays in the pots. And they don't feel the reality of the one. And they put their gifts and they've taken them to the cupboard and they put them on the back shelf. And when they think about their relationship with Jesus, it's not fullness, it's emptiness. And they don't feel joined to the body. Believers who are not being equipped because they're living as bonsai Christians and not listening to the voice of Jesus. My prayer today is that we, here at North Pine Baptist Church, that we hear the voice of Jesus. That voice of Jesus is spoken faithfully through myself and the other pastors and those who teach here. And that we seek to make North Pine Baptist Church a bonsai-free zone. This bonsai here, it's restricted because it's in the pot. I'm really humbled, I really, really am, to be called your pastor today. I'm humbled by the prayers that we've already been given. I'm humbled by your welcome, and I'm humbled by your grace. From the first day, this is what I promise to you. I promise that I will do my best to not bonsai you, to not keep you in the pot, to not treat you as my people. You are God's church. You are God's people. You are gifted by Him. That was a bit heavier than I thought. That's from not going to the gym. I want you to know that I will do all that I can to support you, to show you Jesus, to enable you to serve, to encourage you in your giftedness, to encourage you to grow as the Lord has encouraged you to grow. The Lord has called you. I can tell you that I'm not always going to get that right. I'm not perfect, just in case you thought that. I'm not perfect. But here's what I want you to do. If ever you're not hearing from me the voice of the shepherd, if ever you feel that I'm trying to keep you in the pot, I give you permission to say, now remember what Ephesians 4:15 says, to do it in love. Speaking the truth in love. But I give you permission to say, Pastor Alan, I feel like you're bonsaiing me. And that will be enough to remind me of my call. That's my prayer. That's my promise. And here's my prayer-filled promise for you. I ask that you, as we together serve the Lord, that you listen to the voice of Jesus, that you don't stay in the pot, that you allow yourself to hear the voice of the Lord who has called you, who has a plan for you, who has a purpose for you, who has gifted you. Different gifts, but totally gifted together. And then together, we're going to grow. We're not going to be a bonsai church. And this plant, for me, will be a symbol and a reminder. I just hope it doesn't die. That would be really, really bad. But, so if you have a green thumb and you've looked at that and you've gone, Alan, you have messed that up completely, come along, give this poor plant the best possible outcome. But you see what I'm saying? That's who I want you to know that you are. Jesus Christ didn't die for you so that you just live a bonsai Christian life. He died for you for fullness, that you may know that you can have life and life eternal. That you can experience the joy of standing in the Lord and being in His presence and serving Him and knowing that He has got so much for us. Holding on firm together to the reality that we are one. Different gifts, but we are one. Continually growing in the Lord and in His grace as each part does its work. Let's be committed to make North Pine Baptist Church a bonsai free zone. A church where every one of God's people is equipped because we together are hearing and responding in obedience to the voice of Jesus, the great chief good shepherd. Let's pray. Now, Father God in heaven, we thank you for one another. We thank you for the gift that each person is here to us. We thank you for the oneness that we have in Jesus Christ. And so we're asking, Lord, today, as we begin this journey together, senior pastor and congregation, Lord, that together that we grow in you, that together we seek your voice in prayer, that together we discern what you are saying to us, that together we live for your glory. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the person beside us, in front of us, across the other side of the room. We thank you for that. And we are also praying for those who are not here, those who will come, those who will take the seats, those who we can minister to, Lord, as we together, as your people, serve this community. Lord, bless us in our calling, we pray. Enable us to hear your voice always. Strengthen us so that we are not tossed by the waves and the wind. Help us to see through and be discerning about the deceitful schemes. Enable us to mature as each part does its work, knowing that together we are part of that one body who is Jesus Christ. We can't do this in our own strength. We can only do this with your help and with your grace. And so we come on our knees before you and ask for you to hear our prayer. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, and all God's people say, Amen.
Thanks for joining us for this presentation from North Pine Baptist Church. For more information and to connect with us, visit npbc.org.au.